Welcome to the first in-between-isode, where we are going to drop an episode right between two seasons of the Northern Virginia Business Podcast. And before we get started, quick shout out to Jessica Dubois, top 40 under 40 here for Alexandria Chamber of Commerce. Is that right, Jessica?
Yeah, you got it. I'm still trying to figure out who nominated me. I thought it was you, but then I found out it wasn't.
Yeah, we'd like to keep people guessing around here. But no, honestly, awesome.
No, thank you. I think that, I mean, you and I both come from different areas of the United States. And I think when we move here and we're joining a new community, like our number one goal is to build a positive reputation, build a network. And I feel like awards like this just kind of reinforce the fact that you're doing the right things. And so I just think it's awesome and I appreciate it.
Well, the truth for everyone to know is that she would have actually also qualified for 30 under 30, but they couldn't find 29 other people to make the cut. So they just moved to the 40 under 40. So in this in-between episode, our goal is to kind of go back and recap some of the highlights of the first season and just give you some notes in terms of what you might have missed, especially if you want to go back and listen to it later. You know, the first guest was Alba Aleman from Citizen. And one of the biggest things we liked about our conversation with Alba were really two things. One, her presence, and you could just tell when she spoke, everything they do is with a purpose. And that purpose largely is around supporting their employees. But what was really interesting about that was the timing, because we had recorded that episode right at the peak of COVID-19 and a lot of the uncertainty here in Virginia. So it was really cool to see what they were doing in real time and be able to share that with listeners.
What would you say about Mitch Weintraub? So he's episode number two. What was your favorite part of that episode?
I think with Mitch, there are a couple of different things. The quote, you know, a rolling stone gathers no moss comes to mind, because Mitch and the team at Cordia, they're always on the move. But I think it was really interesting too, to understand and kind of unpack maybe a little bit about why that is. He shared his early experiences, and this is one of the first places we picked up this trend. He shared his early experiences with how that might've shaped how he runs the business today with his partners over at Cordia. So I think it was an interesting way to see how he did that, but also is really positive to see what he had to say about Northern Virginia and the commitment of others to serve not only other entrepreneurs, but the community as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Mitch may have, I'll add on to that and say, Mitch may have created a company that has one of the strongest brands in Northern Virginia too, just with the way that they represent and market themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And when we talk about that, you know, that's where we also go to Scott Parker, right? So we're talking about someone here who has a number of brands under their belt. So Jess, you know, what did you think about Scott and what were your biggest or favorite takeaways there?
So I loved Scott from the beginning because of how open he was with us about his background and what led him into the hospitality industry. He really is the unexpected or unanticipated entrepreneur. So as the restaurateur and what people call the king of nightlife in Arlington, he followed his passion in the hospitality industry and made smart decisions, made a smart network. And that's really what's created to this empire of incredible restaurants and companies in the Northern Virginia area that he's a part of.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to think about it that way, especially when you think about the fact that, you know, if you've ever gone out for drinks, dinner, boxing, haircut, you know, chances are you might have, or doggy daycare too, right? You might have Scott Parker to thank for that. What about with Kendall? What were some of the biggest takeaways there with Kendall Holbrook?
Well, it's funny, first, like, how did we meet Kendall? It was a connection through Alba. So I think that it's interesting that the two incredible women that we got to interview in the beginning of the season both knew each other. So that just tells you how important your network is and to have smart, incredible people in your network that you can learn from. But with Kendall, I liked how she led with intention. So in every part of the company, whether it's from how they moved to a virtual workforce during the pandemic or the way that they give back to the community, everything is done with purpose and to unite the company. What about you? What did you like about Kendall?
I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me was she became the CEO and it was something that she never really asked for, right? Like she kind of chronicled that and talked through through what that experience was like for her. You know, she could have gone off and done her own thing, but there was just this opportunity within the company, and she was, you know, identified as being a great individual to help with that. So I think that speaks a lot about Kendall and her character as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and then when we move on to Mike McDermott, our next episode, what was your things that stood out to you about him?
I think the biggest thing Mike taught me is I need to bulk up and tack on like another 100 pounds, and I could be more confident in asking anyone for what I want, because that's Mike McDermott, right? You know, his advice is really simple for the people who want to take it, which is you have to be uncomfortable with being, or comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? So, you know, a lot of people just aren't willing to go there. And like we always say, you know, successful people do the things that unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. And Mike just had countless stories about some of the things he did and what he was able to achieve. And you talk about growing companies, you know, Mike is again, a great example of that, but also knowing how to have fun and do a lot of other things. You know, I just admire the way that he's able to, you know, do all the different things, like be a bodybuilder and a CEO and still be successful at both, right? Like many people struggle with just doing one of them.
I think that he was, what was he on, like his third meal when we talked to him, and it was like 11 in the morning.
Yeah.
So fascinating.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it takes me into Joe Meyer. So he was a different type of episode because it was our first nonprofit. Talking with someone who was able to tell us about a whole different environment or industry within the Northern Virginia area. And I think with him, what stood out to me was that he followed this path of giving back from his childhood. And that just continued on. And he really made me more aware of the problem around homelessness. Like, even though we live in one of the wealthiest areas in the nation, we still struggle with this issue of homelessness. And I think he made us aware of that, but also helped us in knowing, okay, how can we help this, or how can the community help this problem?
I think it was really interesting too, talking about that and just understanding again where he comes from, because I come from a similar town. You know, the culture shock of moving from some town where the average household income is $40,000 a year to Northern Virginia, where now you're in a position where if you're making less than, I think it was $67,000 or $72,000 a year, you run the risk of being homeless in Northern Virginia. So I think it says a lot about people like Joe, you, myself, et cetera, who aren't necessarily from here, to become acutely aware of the problems. Mm-hmm. So Jess, you know, also we had Greg Fitzgerald from IT Coalition, which that was a really cool episode as well.
Yeah, I agree. I met Greg first off through the Moxie Awards. So I got to interview him and some of his leaders during that Moxie interview process. And that was when their company stood out to me because of their culture, because of how they'd grown. And so when we interviewed Greg, we got to just dig deeper into this. And I found out that their success really is from retooling and evolving as they've continued to grow, putting leaders in the right positions, re-evolving their culture when it's necessary, the way that they've stood out and the way that they do contracts. And I think that his success really has come from their ability to retool as they've continued to grow.
Yeah, I agree on that. And I think understanding that sometimes retooling mm-hmm. is a necessary part of the process, right? And in that though, trying to preserve the culture you've built, because as you become a larger and larger company, you don't necessarily get to do that. But again, Greg was very aware of that and spoke to it to a degree. Mm-hmm. You know, another one, our next guests were actually Seth and Declan from Barron's Wake Leonard. I've known those guys for a long time too. One of the biggest things I had as a takeaway there was the importance of staying relevant, and how even in the area of business law and understanding the rules of the game, you know, as they like to call it, you can certainly tell they have a passion for it. You know, and understanding that there's different things that even legal firms should be doing to stay relevant with their clients, the business community, et cetera. A lot of that goes into what they were talking about with what they're doing with digital media and how they approach the market and their job and their function and profession as a whole. So I think that says a lot about, you know, there's always room for innovation. It's just whether or not you're willing to take the steps to do it.
Yeah. And I'll say they distribute information in ways that most companies don't. And looking at their industry and being a law firm, that's even more unique. Like, these are people who have a podcast studio inside their office. They do live webinars on Facebook. They're like a step ahead of, you know, 99% of the companies out there.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was like a couple of weeks after the episode, or not too long after, but I had a former Redskin here at our office, and they're actually on their way over there for a podcast interview. So you know, it's interesting. I can't say who it is because they're a client. You know, that also takes us into Ryan Rauner. So Ryan, he's, you know, one of those guys that we haven't networked, but whenever I would go networking, I'd see Ryan. He's just always upbeat, excited, et cetera. So we're really kind of interested into diving into his brain about what was going on with COVID and where the market was going. I'll tell you though, like the biggest surprise in that episode and something I'd never really thought of or anticipated was where Ryan and the team are predicting growth. And that being like that Herndon-Dulles corridor with Amazon overing over a million square feet of space. I think that's just crazy. You know, you think about everyone focused on National Landing, but at the same time, knowing that that growth is going to be really occurring also up and down 28. You know, it's good news for people who own a home there, theoretically.
In his episode too, we learned a lot about the real estate environment and how it's being impacted by COVID. So it's very relevant.
Absolutely.
I mean, speaking of being relevant, Todd Rowley, like how incredible of a person is that, interviewing him and listening to his passion around education and creating jobs. This is someone who has been in the workforce for a few decades, and he's still continuing to learn and try to stay up to date with what's going on. This is someone who we learned decided to get his associate's degree in cybersecurity just recently so that he makes sure that he understands like what the environment is needing. And that really is, I'm sure, extremely beneficial to his role at Old Dominion National Bank. What stood out to you?
Well, I'll give Todd credit because I never heard the expression K through gray until we talked with Todd, which I think is just brilliant. No, I think you're right. I think the big thing that really stood out was his commitment to help people find jobs and understanding that if you can create the jobs, you can create opportunities and you can make it a great place to live no matter where you are. I think that too often we kind of forget that, you know, when we have homelessness here in Northern Virginia and we have issues with people making ends meet, you know, the question is we need to look at employment. Are we creating jobs? Are we creating opportunities? You know, we're going to hear a lot more about that with a guest we have coming up in next season as well, especially in the tech sector.
Mm-hmm. Now moving to Robert Gray. So most of our podcast guests we found through referrals or people that we already know in our network, but Robert Gray was one of the people who I read an article about him and some of the cool things he was doing within Intellidyne. And that encouraged me to reach out to his publicist and his team to try to get him on the podcast. The article that referenced him was about how they were paying employees extra like during the pandemic. And this is really unheard of, especially in the contracting world where you already have rates in place. So I was inspired by what they were doing, but wanted to learn more. And the interview was even better than the article. I think we got to learn a lot more about Robert and his commitment to his purpose, his mission at Intellidyne. You know, he starts Intellidyne, he leaves and goes to the board, and then he comes back because he feels like there's still a need for him. And I think his commitment to the company, to his people, is really what stood out to me most.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think it was really interesting to see all of that kind of unfold. And I think it speaks a lot to kind of the legacy you're trying to create, not just in terms of like what the legacy is for yourself, but really what the legacy is for the business and how it impacts every single employee at your company. You know, you could really tell Robert was extremely authentic. And, you know, someone like Robert, if you talk to them, you know, they're excited when people go out and buy a house, buy a car, get married as an employee of the company, because the company is allowed for a lot of that to happen. Yeah. You know, Larry Melton is another close friend of ours, and we're really excited to have him on the show. I think, you know, I've known Larry for a number of years now, and I think the biggest thing that stands out to me about Larry is that he's learned that you can't become complacent. And in really understanding, he's acutely aware of this, you have to continue to change to continue to grow. And he's done a good job of that. You know, he's done a really good job of bringing in the right people, being able to scale the company, but also at the same time, being very, very humble, being very, very cognizant that what got you here won't get you there, that you need to continue to grow the business. And there's a number of different things that go into that.
Well, he might be one of the most loved people too in government contracting world. I feel like at any networking event I saw him at, he just had people surrounded by him, and his smile and connection with all the people, I feel like is very unique.
Dude's got energy. Yep. I can't keep up with him.
Yep. Well, what about Dwight Hunt? So tell me what stood out to you on him.
Yeah. I mean, Dwight has a great story. So again, you talk about the impact at a young age. I mean, who knows where Dwight would be right now if he didn't have a football injury early on, right? So that's just something to think about. But, you know, Dwight, that's really a big one where it comes back to service. Dwight not only is proud of what he and the team at B3 are doing and what they're building to help other veterans and really the VA at that point with their service offering, but also I think at the same time, he understands and appreciates more than anyone what other veterans are going through as well, just being a veteran himself and talking about his issues and what he's doing to support others. So my hat's off to Dwight, especially with the dedication of service. What about you, Jess?
For Dwight, I think his story about he met his partner through being a cheerleader, like a cheerleading coach. Like, how unique is that? So it's such a crazy world that led him into starting B3, but that was so fascinating to me. The last episode of season one, episode 14 was Tim Huang. So this is a friend of mine, but also a well-known real estate broker in the Northern Virginia area. And his story is just incredible. Like his family fled Vietnam in the early 90s, moved here. He dedicates, you know, his education to becoming a doctor, but then changes his mind because he realizes it's not a good fit for him. And like, success for him is about taking care of his family, friends, and clients now. But his success for him was taking care of his family and friends. And he realized that that wasn't in line with what he was doing. So he changed paths and moved to real estate. And I think that that takes a lot of courage, but learning more about, his path in becoming a real estate broker, I feel like, it's just unlike any story that I've heard. Well, what else? I mean, what are you personally looking forward to in the next season?
Next season, a couple of different things. So we've got a couple of big guests we're going to come out with early on. And really, this is where we're going to take a closer look at 2021 and beyond. So what is it the business need to be thinking about, considering, et cetera? I think the other part about this too is, you know, we're going to be going into a really austere, interesting time in our country. You know, we're on the healthcare side. So for those that don't know, we're on the healthcare side of things. So we're always talking about COVID and healthcare conditions and everything else. But I think we're also going to see a lot of politics come into this too. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see how this plays out in real time between the election, influenza-like illnesses going into the fall and winter, and just what's in store for 2020, 2021.
Yeah, I would add to that, there's a couple of things I'm looking forward to. One is diversity, more diversity in our guests. So that, I mean, we had a great season one, but I can't wait to see more women, more areas of diversity around like the issues that people are facing with all the things that have come up over the last year. So I'm looking forward to that. Secondly, you know, when we started this season one, we didn't initially think we would be talking about the pandemic the entire time and how companies were facing that. But this pandemic has lasted way longer than anyone initially thought. So
I don't think anyone anticipated talking about it after the 2 weeks we were told we needed to flatten the curve.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how companies have continued to maintain, you know, their culture and their company throughout the pandemic and what they're looking forward to over the next few months or even years.
The biggest thing is I want to thank everyone who's been a guest so far. Mm-hmm. You know, we really appreciate you coming on. We also really look forward to upcoming guests as well. So thank you in advance if you're going back and listening to this later. But the other thing I would say too is if you know of someone who you think would be a great guest, or if you've been a guest and you've got someone else you'd like to see on the show, please don't hesitate to reach out and let us know. Anything else, Jess?
Nope.
Cool. Rock on. Season two, here we come.
Thank you for tuning in. You can listen to this episode and subscribe to future episodes on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us that 5-star review so that we can get our podcast out to more and more listeners. If you are a business leader or know of any business leaders that you would like to nominate to be a guest on the show, please visit us at thenovabusinesspodcast.com.